his grandma and grandpa, they're here today, thank God. Amen. They're like my mom and dad. I have them all over the place. But been a blessing to be a part of this family's life and be knowing them and seeing the hand of God in their lives as they've grown, went to college, and now are serving in Mississippi in the church there. Brother Dylan's church, right? I love that man. He is a powerful, anointed vessel of God. They believe in what we just gave to the missions, home missions, and they're the church we send money to have home missionaries come down there and be blessed in that conference and every year. And I just want him to come and preach to us. And I pray today that you will open your heart, that you'll listen to the voice of God today. And before you leave here today, that you'll have an encounter with him that you've never had before. Amen. Oh, I've been in church all night. You can have a fresh new encounter with the Holy Ghost today. It's up to you, though. It's not God's fault if you walk out of here not changed and not delivered, not set free, not healed. Amen. It's yours. It's dependent upon my faith and what I want God to do in my life. So if you'll have a heart of faith today and you'll believe, you can walk out of here filled with power from on high. A new perspective. Amen. A new way of walking with Jesus Christ. Come and preach to us, brother.
Would you clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise and lift your voice and praise him with your mouth for a moment? To be here with everyone today, and glad to be with family. And we made the drive. It's a very long drive, but we made it. It was good, and we made it sane. Everett, my son, was starting to lose his mind somewhere around Louisville, but we survived. But all is good. But today I want to just share something that I feel in my spirit would probably be more of a confirmation of some things that you already know. And so, based on what we felt just a couple moments ago, I'm confident that what we're going to talk about today is nothing that is new to you, but it would be confirmation to what God wants to do in the future of this church. And so based on that, today let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 8 verses and start here and go work through something, and believing that God's going to meet with us. Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." I want to talk for a little bit on this subject, the atmosphere of apostolic revival. If we could lift our hands and our voices to the Lord one more time and just ask God to speak to you today personally. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together. God, we ask today that as your word goes forth, that it would find root in our heart. And Lord, let this word resonate in our spirit from this day forward. I bind any spirit that would try to hinder the working of your spirit today, and I lose faith into this room that as the word goes forth, every heart would receive it and believe, and let it be activated in our life, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. You can be seated. Very beginning of the scripture, we see a principle or a pattern that begins in how God works and how God moves. And God is really good at working with what some would call bad material or nothing. God is, I believe, the only one in the universe that can make something out of nothing. And we see here in verse 2 that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth had no form, it had no direction, void, it was empty, it was missing something. There was a void, there was an empty space in it, and it was covered in darkness. And then the Spirit of God began to move. And I just can't help but see a person's life in this verse, that before God and before God's Spirit begins to move on them, many of us were without form. There was a God void, as I call it, in our life that only God can fill. There is a space in us that was designed specifically for God to fill, because He created us and He desires that relationship with us, and only God can touch our life. And we were in darkness, and we were in sin, and we were bound by the chains of the enemy, and so we were in darkness. But when the Spirit of God began to move in our life, that darkness had to go. And the moment God says in each person's life, let there be light, that moment where God reveals Himself to us, and that moment that we reach out to Him out of a hungry heart, and that light shines in the darkness of our life, we are never the same. And from that moment, there begins to take place something where God is doing a creative work in each person's life. And just like He does a creative work in each individual's life, He does a creative work in every church congregation or every local group of believers who gather together. There is a purpose and there is a plan that God has, and He begins to do that work. But after God said, let there be light, and light began to shine in the darkness, and the light was separated from the darkness, we see something interesting in verse 6, that the next thing God created, or the next work that God did, was He said, let there be a firmament. And so before God created any creature of the sea or any land animal or any tree or plant or grass or flower, or before He created mankind, He created something firmament. He created atmosphere. Because before God could put a living being on the earth, there had to be an atmosphere that existed that could support the creative work and the creative life that God wanted to make. Because if the atmosphere was not conducive for life, then man may be created and may be on the earth, but he would not last long. And so God, there is a plan and there is a structure and there is a purpose to everything that God does. And so before He created man, or before He created any living thing, He first made sure that there was an atmosphere that would support it, that the moment that He put that new life on earth, that it would not die. Because it's counterproductive. It makes no sense. I'm going to create new life and put it on the earth, and there's no atmosphere that would allow it to live. The moment it comes to life, it is dead. It doesn't last because the atmosphere is not there to support it. And God's been dealing with me about this for several months. I first began to see this and come to this understanding several years ago, and we'll get into that in a minute. But over the past couple of years, God has been dealing with me on two things for my life and anything that I feel He calls me to do. And this atmosphere, whether it's in a church or it's in an individual's life, your atmosphere, the atmosphere of this church, must be conducive for life. If the atmosphere is not conducive for life, then how can there be new life born? If there's nothing here that would support someone to come to God and be born again of water and spirit, that new birth experience that we love, but there's no atmosphere to support it, that when that person is born again into new life, and the atmosphere doesn't support it, then it won't last. And so, this pattern that we see, God created atmosphere first, and then He created man. And we see this in the natural. And I've learned just through the short experiences that I've had that the natural reflects the spiritual. You can see patterns of things in nature that reflect what's happening in the spirit realm, where there's a principle or a lesson to be learned by looking at a natural thing, and you can apply it to the spiritual. And so if it's true in the natural that things cannot live without the proper atmosphere, then it is also true in the spirit realm that things cannot live without the proper atmosphere, because we see this. And so I've never seen a miracle take place in an atmosphere of unbelief. I've never seen anyone healed or delivered, whether it was in their body or their mind, in an atmosphere where people couldn't care less. I've never seen anyone filled with the Holy Spirit or made the decision to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus and they didn't want to. If you don't want to, you won't. It's as simple as that. If you don't want that breakthrough, you don't have to have it, because it's all a part of atmosphere individually and in the church. Why will one person get touched from God in a service and someone else just sit there unmoved, unshakable? One person wants it, the other person doesn't, because God is not a respecter of persons. God is not picky and choosy on who and when and where He wants to touch someone's life. He responds to a hungry heart. And so the atmosphere is important in order to go anywhere in what God wants to do in an individual's life or a church. And so, with that being said, the two things that will create an atmosphere for the supernatural, the two things that will create an atmosphere for God to move, the two things that will create this atmosphere or this environment for new life to be able to be born and to live and to thrive and to grow, it can only take place in an atmosphere of prayer and praise. Those two things will produce an atmosphere of apostolic revival. And it's not something where we do it 1 month and we take a month off. It can't be something that we do just because we say we're apostolic or we're Pentecostal and so this is what we do. There has to be something in our heart that desires what God has for us. There has to be something in our heart where we love the presence of God and we want the presence of God in our life on a Monday as much as we want it on a Sunday. If we're only satisfied with coming to church on Sunday and on a Thursday, and that's our relationship with God, then our atmosphere is toxic. It has to be something that we take from where we are here and we take it home. And the atmosphere at home must be the same as the atmosphere in this church building, because that is when we truly become the apostolic people that we desire to be. Now, how can I say that? How can I make those claims and know that it's right? Well, there were only two things that took place at the birth of the apostolic church. And so we find in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53, where Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And He has been with His disciples after he rose again from the dead. And now he's leaving them with some final words. And he has told them that he is going to send the promise of the Father to them. But he said, go wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I feel that if you have been waiting on a promise from God, and God has told you he's going to do something in your life, but you still haven't seen it, that does not mean that God is not going to fulfill it. It just means the time has not come yet. Because there is a moment designated where God will fulfill the promise that he made you. But what we do in response to the promise given and the promise fulfilled really determines when perhaps it is fulfilled. Because there is this space. Jesus tells them, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father until you are endued with power from on high. Wait in Jerusalem until. How long do I wait? Until you are endued with power from on high. When will I know the promise has been fulfilled? You will be different than how you are now. There will be a supernatural experience in a moment of time where you will know that God has fulfilled that promise. And so in verse 50, he led them as far to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Their response to what Jesus told them, go to Jerusalem and wait until you are endued with power from on high. They did not just go to Jerusalem and sit around doing nothing and getting frustrated with God because he hadn't fulfilled it yet. Their response to the promise was, we're going back to Jerusalem, we're going into the temple, and we are going to continually praise God until God does what he said. So if God has made you promises, if God has said he's going to do something in your life, or God has said he's going to do things in this church, our response to that promise given is, until it's fulfilled, we're going to praise. Every time we come together, we're going to praise more than the last time we praised. Our praise life isn't going to be just here. We're taking it home. We're going to wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This mindset of, well, you know, how do I fit into the promise? Well, there's this verse, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. If you don't understand quite how you fit in the scheme of things yet, there is something that every person in this room can do that will cause God's attention to be set on this local assembly, and that is praise. God will not turn a blind eye to a praiser. You want to get God's attention? Don't complain. Praise. You want to get God's focus on you? Begin to praise. You want to get your focus off of your problem and back on God? Praise. See, there was a period of time, several years, where I don't know. It was just a season, I guess. But there came, and I don't even know how to describe it, but a darkness or a sifting or I don't know. But I was like, man, God's going to do something in my life. God's going to change things. God's going to turn something around, and it didn't happen. And one day I got this revelation of praise. And I began to praise God more than I ever had before, in different ways than I had before. Because the interesting thing about praise is praise cannot be done in your heart and your body not show it. Praise is a physical thing. You cannot praise God in your head. It's literally, biblically impossible. Every word for praise has a bodily motion. What it in the King James Version, it all just says praise. But if you look up the Hebrew word, it could mean dance, it could mean bow, it could mean clap, it could mean shout, it could mean sing. But no praise looks like this. So if you want to be in the book, it's got to involve your body. And so I began to practice this more and more and more. And I kept praising God, and I kept praising God, and nothing changed. Like, whatever it was, nothing changed. But what was interesting is all of a sudden, as I began to praise God, it was like everything around me was like a hurricane. But right where I was, as I was offering praise to God, there was this supernatural strength that would come to my spirit, that although my circumstances didn't change or my situation didn't change, I had this faith that I can endure anything, because as I'm praising God, God is putting strength to me. In Psalms, it says that He, God, inhabits the praises of Israel, or His people. And we are the people of God. And He inhabits the praises of His people. Inhabit means to move in, to settle in, to show up, to set your throne up in the midst of. We like it when Jesus shows up because it feels good. And we like the presence of God to be in our midst. But if there is no praise being offered, there is no place for God to move into. So if you feel like God is far off from you, if you feel like God is distant, if you feel like God has forgotten about you, why don't you begin to offer praise and watch? Very quickly, all of a sudden, His attention will be back, because there's something for Him to move into now. As I offer the sacrifice of praise, God begins to respond, because God always responds to sacrifice. So could you practice that for a moment? Just begin to praise Him in a way perhaps you haven't praised Him before. Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice and begin to praise Him? I worship You, Jesus. There is nobody like You. There is nobody greater than You, Lord. You alone are on the throne. There is no one higher than You, and we worship You in this place. The funny thing about praise is it has nothing to do with what mood Jesus is in. And it really has nothing to do with what mood you're in. We're to praise Him simply because He's worthy. We're to praise Him because if you want His attention, praise Him. If you want a miracle, praise Him. If you want a breakthrough, praise Him. It's something that's very powerful. We see this displayed in Acts 16, where Paul and Silas were beaten, locked up, bound, in prison. So they were wounded. They were locked up. There were walls up all around them. You talk about needing a breakthrough, and you talk about needing a healing. They needed that. And at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, they offer praise to God. That doesn't make sense. They're doing the work of God. They're in the will of God, and they're wounded. You shouldn't be wounded in the will of God. There's walls up. There's a breakthrough that needs to take place. But they're in the will of God. That doesn't make sense. But the answer to the response that came from heaven was praise. As they sang praises to God, and as they prayed to God, He responded, and He got them out of their mess. Whatever need you have today, whatever situation you find yourself in today, the solution is very simple, and that is to praise God. It may not change today. It may take a couple months, or it may even be several years before you see that promise completely fulfilled in your life. But if you begin to praise God today, there is something that's going to come alongside you, the Holy Ghost, and it's going to lead you and strengthen you and help you. Because when you offer praise to God, He will not reject you, and He will not ignore you. He inhabits our praises. I said it like this to our youth group, and I prefaced it that way so you don't think I'm yelling at you. I told them, I said, if God doesn't show up in your life, that's your fault. Because if you're not praising Him, there's nothing for Him to move in. Why won't God touch me? Praise Him. Why won't God deliver me? Why don't you just praise Him? And we've seen this take place, that as these students begin to do that, they have went from perhaps here, so to speak, at a spiritual level to here. They used to be super insecure and shy, but as they began to praise God, there's this boldness that comes over them. Why? Because when God shows up in your midst, anything is possible. It may require you to do something you're not used to doing. But if you want to see something different in your life, it may require you to do something different. It may require you to get a little desperate. Maybe God is holding those blessings or that breakthrough or that miracle, just holding it back for a moment because He's waiting to see, do you really want me? Do you want me more than anything else in this life? And so praise will produce many powerful things. And we see that is the apostles' response to what Jesus told them. Go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And so while they waited, they continually praised God. But there's something else that took place in that 10-day period between Jesus' ascension into heaven and Acts 2 that we love. We love Acts 2, you know. In Bible college, they had this thing called popcorn preaching. It was a terrible idea. I don't know why they did it. It was horrible, but they did it. And one day, you know, they called this guy up, and he's like, well, I don't know what to say, but no one else has quoted this, so I'm going to. And he got up, and he just started yelling Acts 2:38. And everyone went crazy. You know, I don't think they knew why they were going crazy, but they were just responding. Because, you know, if you call yourself Pentecostal or apostolic, you love Acts chapter 2, verse 38, okay? But we love that verse. But, you know, we forget, or perhaps many times we've overlooked what took place before Acts chapter 2. And one of the things that took place before Acts chapter 2 was Luke, where they went back to Jerusalem and continually praised God during those 10 days. But Acts chapter 1 verse 14, same account, but it's a different, it's the same setting, but it's a different account. Verse 14, these all continued, everyone say continued, with one accord, unified in prayer and supplication. So in Luke 24, it says there was continual praise taking place. And in Acts 1, it says there was continual prayer taking place. And when you bring those two things together, continual praise and continual prayer, there will be an outpouring of the Spirit of God that will not just stay in the room in which it's happening, but it's going to spread past these walls and it's going to get the attention of thousands of people. Yeah, thousands of people, because if there's just a group of believers that will give themselves continually to prayer and praise, Jesus is going to come alongside you and He's going to work with you. And He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you will just come in every Sunday and every Thursday with this one thing on your mind, we're going to praise God and we're going to pray God to God until we see everything He's promised. I promise you that every prophecy that's been spoken will be fulfilled. Every promise that God has given will come to pass. But He's waiting to see on your response. What are you going to do while you wait? What are you going to do while you're waiting to see what I promised? Will you praise Him? And will you pray to Him? See, we want the outpouring, but we don't want to praise Him at the level that we should. If we want God to go all in our life, we're going to have to go all in to Him. We want the outpouring, but we don't want to put the time in prayer. How often should I pray to go to the next level? We find this in Scripture continually. It has to become a lifestyle. It's got to be something that we're constantly working towards. Because I have my eye on the promise. And everything I do is revolving around seeing the fulfillment of it. I'm not satisfied where I am. And so I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to praise God and go to war in prayer. And I'm going to spend time in the presence of God. But we can be rest assured that there will be no outpouring. There will be no miracles. There will be no power if the atmosphere for it isn't first created through prayer and praise. Acts 2, we take it for granted. There was a group of believers that were in a room continually praying to God and praising God. That's why the Holy Ghost was poured out. Would the Holy Ghost have been poured out if 120 were sitting in a circle, just sitting there? No. He appeared over to 500 after he rose again, but only 120 were in the upper room. There should have been more. But God will always have a group. Because there will always be somebody that believes in the promise. And based on what we felt earlier today during worship, it feels as if the atmosphere is just about set for new life to be put into this place. But it can't just be something that we do during the worship set. It's got to be something that every person that calls this place their church has to buy into it 100%. That I may not be able to sing, I may not be able to preach, and I may not be good at anything. I don't know if you think that, but if you think that, there is still one thing you can do. You can praise God. Because praising God is just speaking words of praise to Him. And hand claps and hand waves and jumping and dancing and singing. Why? Because do you love Him? Do you love Him? If you love Him, there ought to be praise. And so, what I felt was this, that the atmosphere is just about set. But there needs to be perhaps maybe just a little push past where we are. It felt great in the worship. But if there could just be a little push past where we are, there will be a breakthrough that will take us to the next level. There's a church in Louisiana that I visited once, and it was on a Tuesday night. They have their midweeks on a Tuesday night, and they're just climbing the walls. It was insane. It was packed out. But I walk in, and you know, the building's not that nice. Okay, you know, it's not state of the art. You know, they don't have, you know, all these crazy things that some church buildings have, and none of that's important. I'm just saying, just the reality of what it was. And the service kicks off, and there had been a lot of prayer taking place before the service began. And then they start singing some songs, and the Spirit of God begins to sweep in, and people are worshiping God and praising God and singing to Him, and they don't care what the person around next to them is thinking. They don't care about anything other than just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God took over in a very powerful way. And I got to witness that. But I was told a story about this church because they refused to have what some would call as bad church. or, you know, it was just an off Sunday. You know, no one was feeling good, so, you know, we just didn't, you know, praise God like we should. They have bought into this mindset of continual prayer and praise. And this is what happened one day. I was told this story. They were having church on a Sunday morning. And, you know, they start at like 10 or something. And a couple hours into it, it just broke out. And they're just worshiping God and praising God. And gets into 2 p.m., 2 o'clock, still caught up in the Spirit, just worshiping God, praising God. And all day, all the way up to like 5 or 6 p.m., it just took over. But what happened was, is while they're in the building having a move of God and offering praises to God and praying to God, people begin to pull in to the parking lot. And they're walking into the building and they're asking people, is this the place where I can be baptized in Jesus' name? Don't underestimate what your praise does. Your praise does not just create an atmosphere for you to feel chill bumps. There's something that happens in the Spirit when you're praising God and when you're praying to God. There's something that takes place when you lock in, so to speak, and you are just giving God the praise that He's worthy of, and you begin to pray and you yield to the Spirit of God, and you begin to pray in the Spirit and you let the Spirit of God flow through you. Things begin to change. The atmosphere begins to be set for the miraculous. Things begin to take place around you and in your community. What would happen if a group of people just locked into this thing and gave themselves to continual prayer and praise? The houses that surround this place, there will be something that happens. What I felt in this room earlier reminded me of what I felt in that church in Louisiana. And so that's why I feel to tell you this, that if you will just make up in your mind, we're giving ourselves to this wholeheartedly, and I'm not looking back. Every time we come together, we're going to give our best to God. There will be something that takes place where the Spirit of God will begin to draw men and women from all around this place. And all of a sudden, the seats that are empty will be full. Why? Because that's what happens when a group of believers give themselves to prayer and praise. It didn't just stay with the 120 in the upper room. That same day, then 3,000 more were added to the church. Why? Because there was first a smaller group of people that were continually praising God and praying to Him. There is a hunger that I feel, but more than just a hunger, I feel a destiny. There are promises that will be fulfilled here. You don't feel what you felt earlier and there not be purpose here. It's impossible. There are things that God will do in the next couple of years that will blow your mind. But do you want to be a part of that? Do you want to see things take place that you can't even imagine? It first comes through prayer and praise. So I wonder right now where you are. Would you slip your hand in the air? And if you believe what I've told you today, what we've talked about, would you just, on your own, with hands raised and voices lifted, would you just begin to worship Him? Right where you are, would you just give Him the praise He's worthy of and begin to create that atmosphere? Soramanda rabasando ria la bashata bahaye. Romondo rabasanda rabaki yolobushata bahaye. Romondo rabeye alabasanda rabaki. Romondo ye alabasata rabahaye. Would you push a little bit further? Would you give yourself to it a little bit more? pray a prayer you haven't prayed before? Would you offer praise to God perhaps you haven't offered Him before? Soramanda rabasandori alabashatabahaye. Romondo rabaye alabasanda rabakata. Would you worship Him? Shondo rabasata rabaki yoroboye alabasatabahaye. Romondo ri alabasata rabaki yorobonde I feel as if God is speaking to someone. He's trying to take you deeper. He's got a calling or a purpose on your life that you perhaps haven't seen before, but yet there's a hunger. There's a desire for more of God. Would you yield to that right now? And begin to yield to the Spirit of God right now. Romonde alabasata. If you want to give yourself to this prayer and praise like never before, from this day forward, these altars are open. If you want to commit yourself to a deeper prayer life, if you want to commit yourself to becoming a praiser like never before, these altars are open. And would you just come to the front and offer God the praise that He's worthy of, and yield to the Spirit of God, and let Jesus do in your life exactly what He wants to do. There's some young men in this room that God is wanting to raise up to set on fire. There are intercessors that need to be born in this place today, where God will use you to push back the kingdom of the enemy, and the darkness will not be able to stand against the light. This is the atmosphere of apostolic revival. By this time next year, things are going to look different. Rikataye alamasando romoye rialamande alabasatadabaka rekando romoye riamahaye romosandarabasi oroboshatabahaye. Would you give yourself to it right now? Would you yield to it right now? Romonde ikatarabasando ramahaye rialabasando romoshandarabaki robosi oromoye. There are angels in this room right now. If you need healing in your body, would you lift your hands to the Lord right now and just worship Him? If you need a deliverance, if you need a breakthrough in your spirit or healing in your mind, would you lift your hands and worship Him right now? And right where you are, the Spirit of God will touch you, and you can leave different than how you came. Sondo ramande alabasa tabahaye. Romondo ramande abaha. There is something sweeping in this room. Would you open your spirit completely to it and let God do in your life exactly what He wants to do today? We come against the forces of darkness and we declare there will be a church here and it will grow beyond number. There will be breakthrough. There will be healing and deliverance in this area. Shondo ramasandarabahaye. Ramando y katabahaye. Soramando ri alabasa tabahaye. Roboshatarabahaye. I feel right now that Jesus wants to make every person in this room a prayer warrior. If you want to yield to that, would you yield to the Holy Ghost right now and let the Spirit of God pray through you for this region and for this city? Sondoramande, would you intercede for the souls that are around you in this city? Would you yield to the Holy Ghost right now? Soramando sita yield to the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God pray through you right now. Open your mouth and let the Holy Ghost be released into this atmosphere, because miracles can take place. Breakthrough can happen. Deliverance can take place today. Just yield to it. The atmosphere is set. The Spirit of God is here. Yield to it. Shondo ramando rabaye alabasanda rabakata. Reolobo romo sanda rabahaye. Romonda ye atabaha. Soroboye akatabahaye. Would you find someone and connect with them and begin to pray in faith that you will see the promises God has made to this people? I don't want to be like the 10 spies who said we can't do it. No, we can do it. We can see it. We will take the land. We will take the land. We will take the land. Would you bind together with someone right now? And where two or three agree, as in touching any one thing, it shall be done. Would you agree right now? Sorramando. Sandra Bahaye, Sandra Bahaye, Sandra Bahaye, Many times in the Old Testament, the Israelites won battles because they simply would praise God. And as they offered praise to God, God would ambush their enemy. He would turn the enemy against each other and they would self-destruct. I feel right now that if we would just begin to offer praise to God and we would just praise Him unashamedly and without reserve, that God is about to set to flight some enemies that have tried to hinder what He wants to do in your life. Would you lift up a shout of praise? Let there be a breakthrough. Let there be victory in the house. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise ye the Lord. And watch God give you the deliverance. Just keep praying. Just keep praying and let the Holy Ghost do in your life exactly what it wants to do. Thank you.
my face, speak my will, and I will use you for your glory, for my glory. In the name of Jesus.
Come on, receive that word right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you right now, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Oh, for your mercy right now, Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, something's breaking in the atmosphere right now. Hallelujah. Come on, that atmosphere is getting prepared for the salvation of your loved one. Hallelujah, right now, God's preparing, oh, a neighbor down the street to come and give themselves to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, your co-workers getting ready to receive in the atmosphere that you're preparing around them right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. While you were speaking, brother, I was reminded of Prophet of God, Brother Eli Hernandez, speaking in this pulpit, telling us about our worship and our praise going out into the dry places. He says, as we were worshiping, there was water flowing out into those dry places. God is moving, amen. And when we will forget about our schedules, we're bound by our schedule. We're bound by, we got to be out of here in 5 minutes. And we hinder the move of God. We need to get off of that. And we need to let the Holy Ghost be in charge of our daily lives. And let God determine when we go and when we come. And we get into His mindset of the Spirit. If we want to see apostolic revival, we've got to change the atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel a change in the atmosphere here right now. Let's just give Him praise right now.